Hey, everybody. Yes. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to episode number 89 of the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Ruffin. As always, every week, I'm joined by my bro, the great Chris Schaefer.
89 episodes, Jason. That's a lot of weeks that I'm still joining you. You know, for once, I'd like Jason to join me, but I guess that's not going to happen. Hi, everyone. Happy new week. Happy Monday. Got some good stuff. We know you guys are listening. I'm speaking specifically to each one of you because I know you're listening, because today we have questions. I know you're listening because you send really smart, cool questions for us to answer, and I like getting the questions because it's cool to know what you guys are thinking. And so today we get to do a little a sharing back with the community, if we could go so far as to say that. But first, Jason, I think you have a treat for
us. Yes, I have a review. You guys are knocking it out of the park with these reviews on iTunes. That's the number one way to help the show. When iTunes sees more reviews and good reviews, they start showing the show to more people. So we appreciate that. And we like reading some of the reviews here on the show. So this last review that we're going to read is the review of the week. It's 5 stars out of 5. It's from O Squared. And the title is SEO That Loves This Podcast. Chris, wouldn't it be great if we started referring to ourselves as PPCs?
Yeah.
I'm currently an in-house SEO that does freelancing on the side. I like that. I dabbled in PPC a few years ago, and a new client wants help in that.
Sounds like a drug. That sounds like he's... I'm sorry. That's just funny. I dabbled in PPC. It wasn't for me. Okay, go ahead.
I dabbled in success 4.5 years ago, and I'm still there.
I'm hooked. I got hooked immediately.
I'm addicted to winning. So I dabbled in PPC a few years ago, and a new client wants help in that area, so I'm getting back in it. This podcast has been great to get several practice takeaways every episode, and I am super appreciative for that. Great work, guys. I'm a new subscriber. P.S. I love the freelancing episode. O Squared, thank you very much for that review. Thank you for taking the time to do that.
Fellow freelancer, too. That's cool. Yeah, that freelancing episode seemed to be really popular. You know, it's always great to help. The guys out there are trying to start things up. I know I've been doing some training with some freelancers out there and stuff like that. So it's really cool to help new startups and people trying to get a leg up and get out from underneath the man. That's what's so cool. Now I'm the man.
I am the man.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, let's kick off our Q&A here. We got a lot of questions to get through. We don't have a lot of time to do it, so we're going to sprint here and try to help some people out. Now, oh, by the way, if anyone wants to leave us a question, paidsearchpodcast.com, contact page, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube comments, Chris's front door, wherever you want to leave those comments and questions. So, Nathan writes in, he is an attorney, criminal lawyer. Basically, he was asking us, he was talking about when we were asked about being blacklisted, and we were saying, okay, don't double serve, don't do anything shady, don't deal with like shady advertisers, because Google will block those websites from advertising. And we were both laughing because the person who wrote in said, I swear I'm not shady. And you and me were like, well, we've never heard of a situation where someone's not shady and got banned. And Nathan writes in, he says, guys, I'm not shady. What he was trying to do, he's playing around with his URLs. He was trying to do keyword insertion and all that kind of stuff. And if someone said criminal lawyer, he wanted the URL string to say criminal lawyer. If someone said defense attorney, he wanted the URL to say defense attorney, something like that. And through all those redirects, he accidentally redirected to a different website, like another website he had or something like that. And Google system caught that and said, hey, you're putting one thing in the display URL and the verification URL, but you're redirecting people to another domain. And they called that
probably some kind of misrepresentation, or
circumventing
like that.
Systems.
Ah,
that's like I take my girlfriend out to dinner. I was like, would you like to circumvent some systems this evening? That's a joke. That's a PPC joke, Chris. Come on. It's a joke. By the way, everyone, people write in from time to time. They're like, dude, are things good with your girlfriend? Did you get her?
They're worried.
Yeah. And things are great right now. So
that's
over
good.
5 years in, Chris.
That's a long time to not ask her to marry you. I'll tell you that. Happy Valentine's Day.
You try to walk that line of private life, public life on the podcast and joke around with your friend. Mm-hmm. And then your friend just steps all over that line.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get back to the PPC. So circumventing systems And he's called in, and he says every time he calls in and tries to plead his case, if you will, they're not having it. And he calls them, all I can get to, this is quote, are robots that tell me I am in Google jail. So that's his unquote. That's the way he's calling their support system. Now, number one, Nathan, and he's asking us for help, Chris, what can he do? Now, here's the thing, Chris. He has his website as the one he wants to point people to, and now he has to point them to a different website that's similar. And the URL is similar. The content on the page is similar. It's the exact same. And he's saying his campaigns are not performing well because his website doesn't have the credibility that his main website does, even though it's the same content. So number one, how to get out of Google jail, quote unquote, and get your URL approved. I don't have any advice. I mean, this is why you don't go into that area at all.
Yeah.
Because when it goes bad, it goes bad. So I would say just keep calling in over and over and over, explaining to them what happened and asking them if you can get any help.
Yeah.
Do you have any other advice on that, Chris?
No. When you hear no from Google, I mean, you can keep asking and you can keep badgering, but there is a point when you just you get caught in jail there. And unfortunately, it's really difficult to get out. I've dealt with clients like that before. There's some ways that you might be able to get out, but it's not anything that I'd be comfortable mentioning on the air just because even that is questionable, you know, ways to try and get around it. So good luck.
Now he's in a spot, Chris, where he's got two domains. They have the same exact content on them. And he's saying his new domain is not working in AdWords as well as his first domain because it doesn't have the credibility that his first domain had in the ad history and all that. I challenge that, Chris. Yes, there's ad history. Yes, there's quality score history, all that stuff. But I don't think that can cause, if the content on the new site is the exact same, what's the problem? It's not a domain problem in my view. That's AdWords 101 stuff, like search terms, bids, ad copy. I just can't see a different domain killing an account. If one of my domains got blocked, I'd be like, okay, I'll just use this other domain and do a great job at AdWords.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get hung up on it.
There's something that can make a difference with domain historical standing. So whether you build a new account and keep the same domain, there is a domain history that can follow. But it's such a wishy-washy area. It's so difficult to really know what's working and, you know, what's fictional. Yeah. I mean, I really can't say.
Yeah. Well, Nathan, if you're listening out there, I would just say give up. Give up on trying to get out of Google jail with that first domain and put your time instead of waiting on hold and talking to people and all that stuff. Just try to do a better job with the AdWords account. And there's no reason a lawyer can't do well on AdWords, no matter what the domain is, as long as the content on the site is decent.
Yeah. If they've blocked that domain, I think that's probably your best bet. Try something completely new. All right, so next we've got a new question about resources. So Denali asks a question about AdWords courses. He says, how are you? I was just staring at your YouTube videos. It's really amazing. Too many questions and too many misconceptions have already been answered. Thank you so much. He says, do you recommend any course or guide about Google AdWords? I want to learn more. Jason, who is our webmaster for the Paid Search Podcast, he's been creative enough to come up with a new PPC resources section. So I'm glad this question has come up because Jason has a formal PPC resources area about getting better at AdWords, what books and links and things that we can recommend, learning about AdWords, staying current with the news, landing page software, call tracking, finding an AdWords manager, and then AdWords overall, AdWords management software. So if you go to paidsearchpodcast.com and look for the link at the top that says PPC resources, there's some good stuff there. I'll give you a hint. This is no secret. Jason and I have always talked about Advanced Google AdWords by Brad Geddes. That's something we've both read, and I teach courses in person and online. It's something I've always used as a outline and a teaching guide when I do it because I think it's just very thorough. I think it's well put together. So you can find some great resources there, and thanks to Jason for putting that together.
Yeah, Chris, I would say if I had to give one resource, we link to it there, the AdWords Help Center. Like, I don't know how many times I have to say this over and over in front of the world. The number one way I learned AdWords was from their free resources and then running AdWords accounts and getting experience. But they give so much great information on there. so many articles, so many videos.
And in the forums. And,
yeah,
and
there's
the
so many questions and answers. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can go to the forums or you can go to other people that are, you know, asking questions and you can look at the discussion that's happened. It doesn't even have to be something that's current. You know, it can be something old and see what they questions they ask and the answers that were presented. So, yeah, good stuff there. And I would say one last thing is that was not true several years ago. You can call Google, you know. So if you're new and you have just some basic questions and you have an account running, my goodness, I mean, give them a call because it's a free resource and there's a lot of people on the phone that can answer those questions. And there's a plethora of basic information that they can provide very quickly and effectively. Don't even have to read. You don't even have to read.
Chris, that's how I learned about search impression share columns. When I was working in an agency doing AdWords for the first time, I called in and how do I do this? How do I do that? And they're like, this is your search impression share column and help me out big time calling
that's
it.
That's nice.
I still call
yeah,
in all the time.
Nice. Yeah. All right. What's
next question is from Mason. He wants to know about rehab industry on AdWords right now, Chris. So I'm just going to read this one. Hey guys, love the pod. I'm not sure this has been addressed. I'll admit it. I'm a new listener. Mason, that's okay. We love new listeners, but we love old listeners too. But I work for an agency who handles a lot of rehabilitation facility clients.
Uh-oh, in trouble.
Booming industry in the United States right now, Chris.
Except
people
on Google.
Are getting messed up right now.
Yeah.
Little fentanyl, little heroin, little alcohol.
And I need rehab for my internet addiction, my Twitter addiction. Yeah.
So, if anyone follows the news out there, this stuff, unfortunately, is a big problem right now, and there's a lot of people trying to get people into rehab centers to help them. As you probably know, Google made it next to impossible to run search ads using these terms, so we've had to stick mostly to display, good times, which obviously isn't ideal for this industry. Just wondering if you guys may have any tips or tricks that would apply to this particular situation, or if you've heard any workarounds. Bing, you can still be pretty sneaky with some search terms. Traffic is just typically very limited. Thanks a ton for your time and keep it up, Mason. So, Mason, thank you for that question. I actually ran into this myself, Chris. In the last couple months, Google has not been happy with, I think, the overall rehabilitation facility industry on Google AdWords. And I think a lot of what was happening was people were advertising, presenting themselves as real rehabilitation centers, and then getting that patient information over the phone and farming out those leads to other rehab centers. In such a sensitive industry like rehab, people's lives are on the line. Google, I think, did not like that kind of business going on. And they've basically put a pause on that industry on AdWords and basically have told you it's very likely that if you try to run on these keywords, you will not be able to. And we're going to kind of not let anybody do it, or most to not anybody do it, until we kind of just check out different advertisers one by one and approve them. That's what I've been told. That's how I understand it. Mason, I ran into the same problem with a client and I don't have a workaround other than Bing. That client moved their business over to Bing, still kept a small campaign on AdWords in the hopes that when it comes back around, they'll be able to jump back to it. But they had to move most of their spend to Bing. And other than just trying different keywords out that might get it approved, my answer would be Bing. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's your best bet. I mean, when it comes to Google, you don't have a right to advertise on Google. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege. And if Google says no, there's no way around it. If you're a locksmith, if you are a AC company, if you're a home service company, you're going to be running into the same problem again soon, because Google is changing the way that things are done for some industries. If they're not happy with what their searchers are getting and they don't feel that it's a fair system for people to find what they're looking for, feel like their users are being cheated, they will give up in that industry and completely redesign what's happening there, either shut it down or do manual approval. And you just may not have a chance to advertise. If Google says no, no means no. So yeah, no solution for you there.
And one more thing, Mason, I would say, like we often say, call into the Google helpline and just ask for updates, because you never know when the situation might turn around, when at some point they'll start accepting manual requests for approval, and you can jump on it for your client and be one of the first ones back in the game. So good luck to you.
All right, so next we have a question. I think this is very timely considering the Star Wars franchise and everything. Luke, who makes a great joke at the end that I'm going to have to include. Okay, so Luke, and Jason, you're going to have to help me out here, because I know you've done a little digging into this.
Because I can read.
Because he can read, because he's more dedicated than me. Thank you, Jason. Luke, first of all, says that he's sad that he can't download everything directly from the podcast. And Specifically, he addressed that that made him sad that he couldn't do that. Another listener had mentioned Kyle, who posted on YouTube. He said that he's been using Podcast Addict, which is an app, and he's been able to download all of the episodes. So for you users out there that want to try and get all of the episodes, I'm not sure if that's the solution or not. I don't know if it'll go all the way to the very first episode. You can always listen at paysearchpodcast.com, but for those of you who'd like to have it in a different format, consider Podcast Addict. Maybe that's a better solution. But anyway, that's part one of Luke's. The second part is he goes and asks a question about, can you explain ad impression share, please? He wants to know, what is ad impression share? Quick distinction. We always talk about search impression share. He wants to know about ad impression share. Jason, you want to read the definition? Or it's fairly straightforward, but I think you probably have a better understanding than me.
Yeah, so search impression share, obviously it's a column you can add in your account. Ad impression share, the only place I've ever seen it is on the keyword planner. And honestly, my eyes have never really seen it. I always glaze over it until Luke had brought it up. But it's in the keyword planner. It's a number of impressions you've received. This is on an account you have, like an account you're running. Then you go to the keyword planner after you've gotten some data, and then you're looking for keywords, and it says the number of impressions you've received divided by the total number of searches for the location and network you're targeting that match the keyword exactly in the last calendar month. So it's basically, what's your share of the searches for that exact keyword in your market, in your location, in your network for the last calendar month. Now, the Google's help documentation says that ad impression share that I just described is different than impression share, because impression share is the same thing, your percentage of the searches out there that you were eligible to receive. So I don't think ad impression share takes into account the times, your ad schedule. And I don't think your ad impression share takes into account, like, whether or not, now I was going to say something about quality score, but it's really ad impression share is just how often you show up compared to the exact searches, no matter what the time is in your area in the last month. Search impression share is the same thing, but the distinction is the searches that you were eligible to show up on.
Right. So, I mean, the ones that were in your state that you're targeting, or your area, the ones on your ad schedule and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, I think that's
good stuff, right, Chris? Good stuff. Get jazzed up.
I mean,
yeah. You don't see much of a use for ad impression share, do you?
No. I mean, in the end, I don't really think it's an important thing. I mean, it's AdWords trivia to me, honestly. When it comes down to it, search impression share, I think, is really the only metric. I don't think there's any value in saying, well, your ad impression share is this and your search impression share is this. If you get to the point where you're talking to a client or your boss or whoever, if you're comparing those and making decisions based on that, you are at nerd level 15. You need to back up and take a vacation, because that's just ridiculous. That's too detailed. You're trying to sort the fly poop from the pepper, as they say. So,
all right. Well, thanks for your question, Luke.
I just ran it into the ground, didn't I? Sorry, Luke. And I did love your joke. Luke said, help me, Ben and Yoda. You're my only hope. Right? I mean, come on. That's funny, right?
Funny, funny stuff.
Funny.
Maybe he's a comedian. Maybe he's a full-time comedian there.
I thought it was funny. I'm Ben. You're Yoda, by the way.
Thank you. Brett, next question comes in from Brett. You guys are awesome. Left a review mentioning it as well, so you can take that number one spot. He's talking about in iTunes. Thank you very much, Brett.
Yes.
I'd love to hear an episode on erroneous clicks. That's what I call ex-girlfriends. You were, don't call me. Don't text me. You were an erroneous click.
Erroneous click.
And
in the world of dating on the phone, I guess that's true.
Don't text me. I'd love to hear an episode on erroneous clicks and how you combat that, either with mobile Gmail clicks or bot clicks. I have a buddy. That's never a good start to a sentence there. I have a buddy. He said his conversion rate was 100%. I have a buddy that is able to send reports to Google and they refund those clicks. I bet your buddy has some oceanfront property in Arizona. I like to use it, but not after I have been managing a client a few years ago and now implementing it. And Brett goes on to say he doesn't think he can send something to Google and be like, 3 years ago, you wasted our clicks. Can I have some money back? And he goes on to say, anything you can do to help, that would help. When I get an answer on the show, I'll be yelling my own. Yes!
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay, so, you going to answer this, or do I have to just
okay, basically, over? Let me summarize it, Chris. Click fraud, is it a problem? What do you do when it is a problem. What are your two answers? And then I'll give my take.
I don't think it's a problem for everyone. I think it's a problem for some in an isolated incident, but I'll tell you, the victim mentality of the erroneous clicks is much greater than the actual factual number of erroneous clicks. Right. If everyone thinks, if I'm not doing good, it must be because my competitors are clicking all my ads.
Right.
If that was true for every time I heard that, then Google would be out of business because people think it happens all the time. And the fact is, it does not happen that much. And Google has systems in place that stop it from happening and automatically refund you when that happens. But Jason, have you had instances that you found that it is a serious issue? What's happened before?
I've had more clients, Chris, because I'm more successful than you'll ever know. Maybe no one's been better at AdWords than me. Maybe. Wow. Now, Chris,
you're trying to win bigly, aren't you, right now? Jason's showing his persuasion methods. That's what he's doing. Go ahead.
Now, Chris, I've had a lot of clients, been very successful. Only one time have I run into the true click fraud issue that we couldn't get it fixed. Like, it was so bad, the guy had to give up. Maybe that's changed. I don't even want to say what industry, and please don't, Chris, because it is a, it's a sketchball. But it is not a problem. Now, are there times where a client has 8 clicks on one impression or 4 clicks on 8 impressions, and we see click-through rates of 300%, 50% on non-brand clicks? Yes, that happens. It happens every week. I see it every week. And the reason why, it's 9 times out of 10, it's not malicious. It's just dumb people clicking over and over, trying to get back and forth to different searches and websites. When Google sees that happen, before you're ever charged to it, within the next hour, they automatically remove those clicks from your data. And I've watched it in real time, Chris. I'll have 8 clicks on 4 impressions, 200% click-through rate. And all of a sudden, those clicks start disappearing from that keyword when I refresh, and I'm down to 1 click on 4 impressions. So most of the time, it's just people messing up and accidentally clicking over and over. Google has a staff. I've read, I don't know where I read this, but I remember reading over 100 people combating all types of click fraud that people could try. If this was a problem, Google wouldn't be able to exist. The whole thing wouldn't work. When they see someone clicking it over and over from an IP, they stop showing ads to that person. When they see tons of clicks coming in from the same IP, they remove those ads from your data. And then if they do go through, they remove them later and credit you back some money. So if you ever have a problem with this, call into the helpline. Usually what they'll say is, hey, give it some time. They'll say everything I just said, and they'll say most likely those clicks will disappear from your data within the next 24 to 48 hours. Chris, very rarely do I ever see this. The times you will see it are when you have an insanely high click-through rates on non-brand keywords. But again, usually those click-through rates come down to normal levels as invalid clicks get removed over the next 1 to 2 days. And if it's been 2 days, then call in Google and ask for some help.
Yeah, good stuff.
But generally, not a problem, way overblown in people's minds.
I think that's the takeaway here. I think we both agree there that most people think they're having issues and they're not. So, and that's coming from me and Jason, who talk to a lot of people that think that all the time. So pretty wide testing range there. So Omar has a pretty cool question. I think I have a distinct answer for him. Jason, you may want to kick in on this. But Omar is in the SEO business, legitimate, cool business to be in. Fan of PPC, but we'll move on from there. He wants to know, when do I decide to bring in a partner or hire a part-timer? Because he wants to start doing PPC. He's doing SEO. It's taking time. He wants to know, when do I decide? So this is not an AdWords question. This is a more of a freelancing business question. And this is not a business podcast, but I'm going to give some quick advice. Jason, my personal thoughts, and you may disagree, but my thoughts on hiring someone is, one, if you can't handle it, you should probably help, and you're missing potential. You should probably bring someone in. Number two, the time to bring someone in is once you've established a formula and a process within your own company. Do not bring someone in when your own haphazard way will be impossible to communicate to that person how you do what you do. You need to be able to take that as a process and hand it over to someone. You cannot do that if you haphazardly click through and you don't really have a process and a pattern of what you do. You can't communicate that to someone. So one, can't handle the work. You're missing out on opportunity. Number two, you have some type of process in place that you can describe and write out for someone. That's probably when it's time to bring someone in.
Yeah. If you're going to bring someone in, have a system in place, a system, So you don't have to spend your time doing the PPC and cleaning up messes. They're the ones who are supposed to do it. And the system helps people with their time. The other thing I would say, Chris, that's why you and I exist. I mean, if he needs AdWords help, find a professional freelancer.
Yeah, and that's another deal.
Give it to someone who has a system in place, share the fees with them, and make more money than you currently do.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about listening to a PPC podcast to learn what we do. People like us could just do it for you. So, good point.
Last question here, Chris.
Uh-oh, there's a smile.
It's from Evan. Face. No, bro, that's podcaster language to you that we got to wrap up because I told you I had a call at the top. Remember?
I hear
wink,
you.
Wink, wink, you know?
We've got 6 minutes. We're good.
But, bro, that's why I said last question.
Gotcha.
Bro, I'm trying to gel here, Chris. I'm trying to, you know, mind read with you, man. No, we're 2 years
right over,
into this.
Right over the head, no.
With that said, Evan asked from YouTube, hey, Chris and Jason. So first off, I just wanted to say I love your guys' show. The content itself is amazing, but you guys know how to make an otherwise boring subject very fun and fascinating.
That's great.
It gets more boring than that. I mean, to me, it's pretty fun. This question is more directed at Jason since he says he loves working with moving companies. And my question is this. Jason, I've tried so many different combinations of headline ones and twos using both CTAs, calls to action, and features benefits, a good description with good calls to action with the main extensions. He uses all the AdWords ad extensions. But he says it's hard to get above a 1% CTR with an average position of around 3.6. Is this normal for your industry? Thanks, guys. And then he gives a love sign there. So love you, man. So, Chris, the first thing that screams out to me is average position 3.6, 1% click-through rate. To me, that is, it could be somewhat normal, depending on what keywords you're targeting. If you were in position 1 or 2, I would not be happy with a 1% click-through rate. But position 3.6, you're getting down pretty low there. It's normal to have a 1% click-through rate. But it's also normal to maybe have a 2 or 3% click-through rate in that position. So, I would say this, Evan, it could be normal, but it just depends. I would say check your keywords, sort by impressions over the last 30 or 60 days. Look at what keywords are getting the most impressions. And I think what you'll see there is you might have some more generic keywords like movers phrase match, moving companies phrase match, moving companies broad match modified that are getting a ton of impressions. In general, those kind of generic non-geo, non-near-me, non-local keywords get lower click-through rates. And because they're getting so many of your impressions with a lower click-through rate, it might be dragging your overall click-through rate down. So maybe you could focus spending your full budget more on geo keywords, movers in Houston, moving companies Houston, moving companies near me, local moving companies around me. Those kind of more geo, deeper in the funnel keywords tend to have better click-through rates. And if you focus on those ones and not let as many of your impressions go to the generic ones, I think you'll see your overall click-through rate rise up. Chris?
Yeah, I think you're right on cue there. I think the issue is not your ads. I think you were really concerned about your ads, but the main concern is probably your keywords because your ads can be phenomenal, but if you have the wrong targeting, if you have too broad of targeting, you'll have a low click-through rate because the best written ads to the wrong person won't get clicks.
There is some great catch line here we could come up with about click-through rate depending more on your keywords than your ads on a deeper level, and that click-through rate could be catchy and could catch on, but I'm too successful and tired to think of it.
Successful and tired.
So let's just end the show, Chris.
Yeah, all right, well, that's it. As Jason said, thank you for following us and all that stuff. Jason, of course, loves to do this every week. He just leaves the room and lets me take things out. So thanks for watching, guys. We will be back next week with a new topic. Keep sending those questions in. Keep sending those reviews. And we'll be back